Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ryobyte Investment Holdings interim results as at 31 December 2019. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions when prompted. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Herman Bosman. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and welcome to everybody on the call. I have in the room with me Schalk Human, who looks after our finances, as well as Jan Hofmeyr and Marthinus Visser from OUTsurance. Just to set the context, I'm sure you've all been very busy this morning to look at your screen and see what's been happening on the market. I think we're going to resist liberal references to the macroeconomic environment. We can, of course, speak about it, but I'd much rather think about the businesses in their own form without too much reliance on macroeconomic environment, which I think you have a much better idea of in any case. I guess to start off with a reflection on our results, I was thinking which adverbs or adjectives to use, and I think the first one is that we are not pleased with the results. I don't think anybody can be pleased with a double-digit down, despite the economic conditions. On the other hand, we're very excited to what we are seeing in the underlying businesses. In all four of the main businesses, we are seeing the fruits of investment. Obviously, that investment had a cost to it, but we're seeing some very interesting successes coming through across the portfolio. I'll start by thinking or reflecting on the three businesses who are not represented here. They have all reported their own results, as you would know. And then we will turn to OUTsurance, where the management team has joined us today. As far as Discovery is concerned, we saw a very strong performance from the incumbent businesses across the three main South African businesses, as well as Vitality Health in the U.K. So we're very happy that despite the difficult conditions, we've seen operational resilience at Vitality Health, and we saw the three South African businesses position themselves in a very good way. And obviously, Life, South African Life, has rebounded after a challenging 2019 year. We've seen, or we are seeing, exciting and continued growth in Vitality Group, especially in Ping An. And we are also seeing that the bank is, from an operational point of view, especially new business acquisition point of view, now tracking very strongly. So I guess when you consider where Discovery has been in terms of the upfront investment, especially in bank, that has probably put, or that has put a lot of pressure on the earnings profile, but we are very confident that the successes that we are witnessing in some of those investment areas have been strong and very promising. As far as Hastings is concerned, the business, let's separate between new business and renewals. On the renewal side, we are very comfortable that after a bit of a lull, we have really picked up on the retention rates, which is a very important indicator of obviously of both of business volumes, but also of effective acquisition costs. On the new business side, it's now for the first time being able to start putting through premium inflation increases. As you know, Hastings is mostly correlated, or most correlated of all the short-term insurers in the U.K. to the pricing cycle. And although it's a short period of observation, we are now seeing premium inflation coming back into that market after almost 2 years of claims inflation outperforming or exceeding the premium inflation tendencies that we could see there. The business has maintained discipline around costs, so I think similar to Discovery, we are excited to see where Hastings will be positioning themselves over the next while, having gone through a very tough period. MMH, you would have seen their results earlier this week. And I think we similarly feel comfortable that the reset and grow targets are being tracked. The productivity of the agents have definitely increased a lot as well. And I think generally we are extremely pleased with what Healy Meyer and his team have done over the last 2 years in not only repositioning the business, cutting out a lot of costs, but most notably getting on the front foot as far as the staff morale and the confidence of that business are concerned. So, again, that business has made a very good recovery, and we now look forward to see how they position themselves in the market. As far as OUTsurance is concerned, I'll make a couple of quick comments and then hand over to Martinez and Jan. The big challenge at OUTsurance, as the investor community has highlighted to us, has been the ability to grow the two-person lines businesses, both here and in Australia. And I think for the second reporting period, we have now illustrated that both businesses are growing again relatively strongly in the high single figures, and obviously higher if you extrapolate that over and if you annualize that. The most exciting bit of the OUTsurance results, in my view, is that the upfront cost that we've invested in to upskill and upgrade our OUTsurance business operations is also now paying off. You would have seen the strong growth in premiums on the OUTsurance business side. And then we're seeing some promising new ventures. You would have read in the results that we've entered into a partnership with Blue Zebra, which is a broker network in Australia. I think Martinez will speak more about the rationale for that. And then a couple of days ago, you would also have seen that ShopRite has entered into a JV with us on a specific set of insurance products. So again, similar to the other businesses, we have over the last number of years invested in what we hope or would have hoped to be future growth. And I think we are now seeing that come through in a variety of early successes. So I'll stop there and I'll hand over to Martinez to make a couple of further remarks on OUTsurance. And then we'll hand over to the convener to open for questions.
Thank you, Herman. Yes, I mean, I'll first look at it at a group level and specifically look at growth and then the loss ratio and the cost ratio. In terms of growth, we're quite pleased, as we said, by the improvement we've seen and being sustained in this half. Overall gross written premium was up 6.1%. That was muted slightly by the exchange rate move in Australia, where the rand got slightly stronger. And if you ignore that, we would have been close to 7%. Importantly, if you break that 7% gross written premium down, premium inflation has been very low. It's continuing to be low. So you're typically looking at premium inflation of around 3% and then unit growth of just below 4%, and we think that that's a solid result. And the unit growth at both OUTsurance and UE was similar at just below 4%. I mean, reasons for the low premium inflation is really on the strong on the motor side, where we've seen reduction in claim frequencies. We also see, obviously, the economy is playing a role with people buying fewer newer cars and having longer replacement cycles. Importantly, new business premium was up 14.5%, which is also a good leading indicator for the longer run. In terms of operating profit, we were down 6.9%, but that was largely led by a higher claims ratio because of natural peril events. Last year was already a more normal year, but this year was really above our sort of 5-year and 10-year average points. We had in Australia, we retained losses of $30 million between the bushfires and a large hailstorm in Queensland, whereas in the previous period, we only retained losses to the value of $17 million. And then in South Africa, whereas the previous six-month period was catastrophe-free, this year we had $84 million worth of catastrophe claims. And on top of that, $20 million increase in power surge and dip claims as a result of load shedding. So if you look at our attritional losses, our true underlying loss ratio, those things were flat year on year and in line with our target. So fundamentally, we're writing good quality business. We're not cutting rates to boost growth. It was really normal volatility in natural peril events. And I think it's fair to say we're quite pleased by the performance of our reinsurance program in mitigating the impact of these losses. If we think back 5 years ago, where we had similar multiple events, the impact on our net loss ratio was bigger than what it was this time around, with the addition of the aggregate reinsurance, which we also now have to improve that result. In terms of the cost ratio, we marginally up year on year, but one has to break that down into the units to better understand it. And I think the big positive here is that in OUTsurance Personal, we've seen the cost ratio turn, and it's on the way down again. And the main reason for that was really that the increase was related to a larger investment in marketing and acquisition costs. And because that's an upfront cost, you have a bit of a hockey stick effect, and now we're gaining on that front. In terms of commercial, the cost ratio is still up, but as we pointed out, this year is the peak of our investment in the agency force. And I think a very encouraging number is the half-year premium growth for business OUTsurance at 18.5% growth in gross written premium. We expect that to hit the 20% mark by full year. All the parameters on the agency business also looking good in terms of loss ratio and lapse ratio. Then if we could perhaps just look at some of those new growth initiatives, we've previously pointed out that we've got big market share in terms of direct insurance or the call center business, but the split in the market between direct and face-to-face is sort of leveled out. And as such, for us to enable further growth in our markets, we need to do face-to-face. And I think our commercial agents business is a good example where we are successfully applying that. But on top of that, we also have the agreement now with ShopRite, and the first product there will be in the funeral space. With low average premium products like funeral, it's critical to have low-cost distribution. And I think this partnership will enable that low-cost distribution as well as the physical footprint, which is so critical to winning that market segment. Another possible product in that space would be pet insurance. Then another example of our wider set of products and channels is we also rolled out our warranty product in South Africa. We think with people keeping their vehicles longer, it's quite a relevant product. And within the first 2 months, we exceeded 1,000 sales per month without any advertising at all. On the UE side, we entered into an agreement with the Blue Zebra. Now, the obvious question might be, why not also do an agency or our own agency force like we have in South Africa? But the financial dynamics is different in Australia. Your average salaries are much higher relative to your average premiums, and that's why the agent model just simply does not stack up there. And a broker model allows you to have a more variable cost model. Blue Zebra has got extensive distribution skills. We have good underwriting skills, and it is the view if we combine these two that we can certainly grow into the higher-end personal lines book, but also in the SME side of business profitably. So that is quite an exciting new venture for us as well. yeah, I think that's in a nutshell sort of some of the exciting developments there. Maybe we can open up for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star then one on your touchtone phone or the keypad on your screen, at which time you'll hear a confirmation tone. Following this process, you'll place in the question queue. If you decide a question has been addressed and you wish to withdraw your question, you're welcome to press star then two on your touchtone phone to remove yourself from the question queue. Just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. The first question comes from Warren Riley of Bagleo Capital.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for the call. Just two questions from my side. On the ShopRite deal, can you just give some more color in terms of how this will roll out? Where will this be sold in the ShopRite stores? Will this be through the money market counters or the tellers? And if you can just give a bit of more information on the economics of the agreement. That's the first question.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, Warren. It's Jan here. So we'll essentially roll out across all the main ShopRite brands, and we'll obviously start with a funeral product as our first product. We also see probably the biggest opportunity at this stage, and that will be sold through the money market counters. You know, so already obviously the ShopRite money market counters do a variety of financial transactions, including transfers and bill payments. So we'll be obviously connecting into that infrastructure to sell the funeral products. We haven't disclosed the economic parameters of the relationship yet. You know, that it would be in the form of a joint venture with an economic profit share going back to the ShopRite group by virtue of you know, a preference share arrangement. So that would be quite similar to how our arrangement with F&B works on the homeowners cover business. So a very similar format.
Okay, thank you. Next question. You indicated that UE has incurred around $9.5 million in Jan 2020 relating to hailstorms. I just want to get a sense of what the weather-related losses were in the prior year base, if there is any.
Yes, we can comment. In the prior year, in the 6 months from Jan to June, we had two events. Back then, our retention level was $8.5 million. So that retention would have totaled $17 million. Remember, in Australia, our reinsurance is on a prepaid basis, so we don't pay reinstatements there unless we exhaust our cover. And this year, we now have had two events in this period, the Jan to June period so far, a hailstorm in January and a flash flood in February. And our retention is currently 9.5. So we'll obviously retain the 2x 9.5. Also worth pointing out then is maybe just the aggregate cover which we have in place. Once our aggregate natural peril losses for a financial year exceed a certain threshold, then we can claim back on that. We've now entered that aggregate cover zone, and that cover is for $28 million. So it's basically three retention levels. So all natural perils for the remainder of the year up to $28 million will be 100% covered. Obviously, if we burn through that, then we'll be in for those claims again.
Okay, that makes sense. Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one on your touchtone phone to place yourself in the question queue. The next question comes from Roger Williams of Cynthia Asset Management.
Hi. Regarding Hastings, you increased your retention by dropping premiums quite substantially, but your claims experience was substantially worse. Has the pricing been slightly off? You've maybe given back too much discounts, and consequently your experience hasn't been as good as expected, or is there another reason?
Hi, Roger. It's Herman. I think it's obviously bit of a waterbed. When you push one place, it reacts on another. So
But I guess what we were seeing, and when I was talking the past tense, it's not that long ago, we saw that there was almost uncontrolled claims inflation across the market. Certain single event floods, et cetera, but just generally, the claims inflation was rampant at 5 to 7%, while the market generally was unable to even put through nominal increases. Now, the claims, as for the reporting period that you may be referring to, definitely would be out of our range, and I think we're doing a lot of work to bring that within the 75-79% range that as indicated. And we are slowly seeing an improvement in that. However, when you look at the premium inflation side, you would have seen the stats and the cycle that has turned over the last 4 to 5 months. Hastings has actually reacted a bit sooner, and has started to push through mid single digit increases on the product, and that was without compromising our typical number one rating or number one rank as new business writer. So I think we tend to think about new business and premium increases in that way, i.e., what is your market share, what is your times top of the PCW table, and how is that then related to the margin that you're writing at. The better indicator for us in terms of the secondary business, of course it has a premium inflation element to it, is the retention rate, because that is something that we were struggling last year, sort of in the middle of the year, and that has not been actually increased or not improved only by a factor of dropping prices. It's actually been guide-wise system that has now been implemented completely, so you have a much better way to interact with your client. We've also implemented a dynamic discount model where, because you have better information and more instant data, you are able to give the call center operators the ability to dynamically think about price adjustments. So maybe this has not come through in the numbers that you're seeing completely yet, because obviously there's definitely a lag effect. But what we are trying to do is to operationally improve retention rather than merely putting price decreases through.
Okay. So I mean, if your premium increases are in line with cost increases, it's unlikely your underwriting margin is going to improve in the short term, or was it better than that?
Well, the business is relatively geared to your ability actually to push through the premium increases. So that's typically your first indicator that it would improve. I think similar to our insurance, we're trying to write the right business. So if you write the right business and you're able to put in premium inflation through your claims should come down. So I think the two are not necessarily related in our minds. We still want to write the right business for the right price. I think there were exogenous factors that made the claims experience so much worse in the last year or two.
Okay.
That's definitely the observation we have over the last 4 or 5 months, and long may that last.
While I'm on the line, can I ask another question, or is there others?
Of course.
Just structurally, you know, you've got this Alpha Code, and then the RMI affiliate managers. It's relatively small in the scheme of things. You know, also Hastings is kind of a partial associate, partially owned by OUTsurance. Are you looking at maybe structuring your business slightly different? You know, it would just make maybe more logical sense if Hastings was 100% owned by OUTsurance because it's their core business. And then, you know, RMI affiliate managers, it just doesn't look like it's ever going to mount to anything.
Yes, I hear three questions. Yes, we are constantly considering what the best structure for our business is. And, you know, that's something that's receiving constant attention. The second one, whether RMI will amount to something, call it relevant within the group. We need to exhibit patience here. I think everybody on the call is involved in the asset management industry in some form or another. And it's probably been the worst 5 years, if not the worst 5 weeks that the industry has had. We are comfortable that our 10 or so affiliates are operationally, strategically, financially in as good a space as possible. But as you know, when you in the space of 5 to 15 billion of assets under management and you are starved of asset growth either organically or through market action, it is very, very difficult to get through into break even and a nice profitable position. So most of our affiliates are profitable, but I guess on the margin, if I have to be honest. So I guess the best answer I can give you is we are exhibiting patience because we are quite excited what these businesses could do if the market changes. Now, of course, you may reply that, you know, that's anybody's guess, but I guess that is exactly where we are. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater without giving it a chance in a hopefully expanding market. Then as far as OUTsurance Hastings concerned, yes, we could do that. I guess at the moment we feel that the partnership is quite an interesting one. At the time when we did it, the size of the investment from an OUTsurance only point of view was such that they didn't want to do the whole block on their own. And similarly, from our point of view, we didn't want to go in without our operational and strategic partner next to us. So I'm not sure whether what's bothering you is a structural or a reporting or a financial bit. We actually see it as one investment that we've made together as the two businesses. So we're not really hassled by any friction or any sort of, you know, structural deficiencies. But back to my first answer, yes, we are constantly looking at seeing what the best structure for our business is.
Okay, and on the affiliate managers, I mean, are you, at some stage, would you say, listen, I need to rationalize, I need to merge, I need to cut, I think you're saying you're giving your patience, but
patience doesn't mean we're inactive or passive. I think we've just come out of a board meeting, and there are several things of putting complementary skills together, complementary business together, making sure we have the right empowerment credentials for the business. It's a multitude of ways to hopefully improve the business. But I think I go back to the lifeblood of this business, as you know better than I do, would be an increase in funds to manage.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a further reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you are welcome to press star and then one on your touchtone phone to place yourself in the question queue. We have a follow-up question from Warren Riley of Pathalia Capital.
Hi, Herman. Just one question quickly. Discovery and their results showed Ping An sales for the month of January. There was a dramatic pickup in the run rate there. I'm not sure if that was related to the virus there and a change in how, you know, the Chinese are approaching health insurance. But I just wanted to know if you could update how February looked and if that was maintained and if you've seen any further changes in China in the last month or so.
I wouldn't be able to comment. I'd rather ask Barry and drop you a note if I can. We haven't had February data coming through to the board or in discussion with Barry. So I'll, if I may, rather come back to you with numbers there.
Yeah, that's perfect. And can I have one more question?
Sure.
I think just following on from Roger's earlier question, I mean, we've spoken about it in the past, and I think about 6 months ago, there was a increasing implied discount on the insurance business. And if I look at it today in the earnings, you've reported on a trailing basis, that our insurance business looks to be priced at about 7 times trailing earnings, which is a significant discount to peers and, you know, the free cash generation ability. So just, you know, any further thought to the structure of RMI and whether it makes sense? I mean, we've seen action at the Remgro and RMH levels. So certainly you're acknowledging that the holding company structure may not be the perfect structure anymore. And I just want to know if you've had any thought with regard to that at the RMI level.
Of course, I don't think we would be doing our job if we weren't considering our structure. You know, on your point around outsurance at a 7p, I hope you're buying. on the structure generally, I guess, you know, we want to make sure that we take decisions on longer term data, and I think it's the same approach we followed when we looked at RMH. So I think the first thing I can assure you of is that the board, similar to RMH, consider these things. They and they want to make decisions that's in the best interest of shareholders for the long term. And I think that's what we hopefully would have achieved as far as FirstRand's concerned. It was a mature asset. They look after themselves. Our ability to add value has probably declined as the business became the biggest bank in Africa. It was at the right time that we wouldn't diversify the portfolio by putting an asset next to it. And similarly, we also didn't feel that we would attract a control premium for FirstRand by accepting an offer from a third party. I think that RMI is different in a number of aspects. It's a much more, many of the assets are much younger. We still think that we have a role to play to grow businesses into standalone, truly independent entities, and we have several on the way there. Secondly, we also perceive that the interaction between some of the parts of the business is still quite strong. Momentum is with us in IMG, Hastings Outsurance, you know about, et cetera. So I guess there are natural ways that the portfolio is working together. But having said that, I guess the focus that we want to have, and ignoring that, I guess RMI is very much seen as SA Inc. and suffering from you know, massive outflows as far as the foreigners are concerned, and probably the geopolitical market risk that we have. But having said that, I think our job is to make the market aware of the true value of outsurance. We did a side-by-side comparison with some of the competitors, and you know, it's our job to illustrate to the market and you that, you know, whether from a sustainable margin point of view, a growth metric point of view, investment in new business point of view, this business is implausible to trade on a 7p. If over time we are not able to illustrate that, and the market does not value the assets at what we think is the true value, then I guess we have to think about structuring or restructuring the group. We're not hanging on for the sake of it. I think we feel that we play a role in building new businesses and nurturing exciting businesses to get to you know, maturity.
Cool. Yeah, it makes sense. Thanks, Herman.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. We have a follow-up question from Roger Williams of Centaur Asset Management.
Hi, Herman. Just on Discovery, it is your largest investment and, you know, comprises almost 40% of your market value. Are you, there have been concerns and, you know, I think I share concerns about their free cash flow. They're carrying a hell of a lot of development businesses where I don't think there's any sight of profitability, which is amounting to billions now. And just doesn't seem to be generating free cash flow. Does anyone ever kind of take issue with management and say, listen, this isn't working, it's time to cut it and move on, and let's really focus our energies on the successful operations, because you know, if it continues the, you know, there is risk that, you know, the financial situation, you know, the debt, you know, climbs to an untenable level within Discovery.
I think you're right in the sense of one has to have a very careful look about capital allocation that any business employs. Similar to all the other businesses that we're involved in, we are represented on a, whether it's investment committee or capital committee, where we look at obviously new investments, but also over time, we monitor various things, tracking to budget, tracking to plan, future profitability of the business, etc. So I guess from a governance point of view, or call it from a commercial point of view, there are measures in place that we take a dynamic view of the investments we've made. I have to say that in our experience, Discovery is one of the best builders of organic businesses, whether it was the health business, the SA Life business, Insure, Invest. In South Africa, they've been phenomenal to build businesses, and I also think the Vitality Group that they've put together, that network, is very, very good. So I guess then the question is, the only outstanding one really is Vitality Life in the UK. Vitality Health has turned the corner over the last couple of reporting periods and seem to be in a very solid position. And then the question, as I say, is Vitality Life in the UK, where does this business stack up in terms of the required rate of return or cost of capital that you want to achieve? And I think it's an interesting question. Again, one has to see it in the context of the UK being in a extremely low interest rate cycle. And, you know, you know the structure of the market there. Your upfront acquisition cost of life products is high. So I guess we've been battling against a very strong headwind in the UK, but it doesn't mean that one shouldn't consistently look at the capital allocation and the business plan and track that to expectation. So the short answer is yes, we look at it, and we continue to look at the capital allocation of the group, as we do with MMH, OUTsurance, et cetera.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think looking at Vitality Life, the reality is it's a very, very difficult competitive market. I don't think, I mean, to face harsh reality is that, you know, no matter which way you slice it or dice it, it's never going to be a great business. So if you could actually maybe sell it to someone else, maybe that's the best way forward, but
that's
very harsh, you know, that just seems the way it is.
I don't think that's a harsh outcome necessarily. I think the fact is the facts need to speak for themselves, and we need to take the business decision. The last time we looked at it, there's still a lot of excitement about for that business, and we will continue to do so. We are obviously led by management. As I said, the probability or the track record of management to build businesses has been phenomenal. I think you'll go a long way to find a financial services or any company that has built as many successful companies or business units as they have done. It doesn't mean that everyone will be successful. Some may take longer. Some may never be successful. But I think one has to have an open mind, and that's, I guess, where we are. Not specifically to Vitality Life. It's to all our businesses.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, one final reminder. If you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one on your touchtone phone to place yourself in the question queue.
All right. Thank you very much, everyone. We're not coming on the road this time around to Cape Town or Johannesburg because most of you have declined in-person meetings, obviously for understandable reasons. But if there's any one of the institutions who would like a one-on-one call, we could do so next Tuesday or Wednesday if you wish, just send us an email and we'll accommodate that. But thank you to everybody else who has contributed and participated today.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.